Welcome to the Tag Republic podcast, a weekly chat with Carolina Guzik about all things marketing. Some episodes are short tips that you can implement in your business right away, while others are in-depth conversations with industry leaders. Whether you're a new photographer searching for some knowledge or an established professional with years of experience, Carolina offers fresh and innovative advice that can help you transform your photography business.
This episode is sponsored by The Art of Pinning, a self-paced Pinterest class for wedding and lifestyle photographers. If you're having a hard time driving traffic into your website, or SEO is overwhelming you, or the people that are visiting your website are not the kind of visitors, aka they're not converting into clients, then this class is for you. You can find more information at www.thetalkrepublic.com/Pinterest or just follow the link in the notes. Now, enjoy this episode. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Talk Republic. I am Carolina Guzik, your host, and today it's a solo episode, and I'm going to be talking about money in your business and money in relation to your contracts, to getting paid on time, what happens if you don't get paid, and all that information. Now, keep in mind, obviously, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not an accountant, so I'm just going to be sharing with you my own personal experience, how I have handled these things in the past, and, you know, probably give you some advice, but it's up to you to always make sure that you get legal counseling if you need to get legal counsel, or whatever, you know, information you need to get from a professional in the field. I am just a photographer sharing my perspective as a photographer. I also wanted to address this topic because I keep seeing this kind of like comments, or not complaints, but you know, comments on Facebook about people saying, I sent a contract and now the client has ghosted me, or I haven't get paid my balance, or even worse, I photographed the wedding and they haven't paid me. And I don't want you to go through this. That is not okay. This is not what we decided to go into business for ourselves. So we're going to address those topics today. Now, I want you to understand that there's going to be kind of like a pragmatic way to this conversation, which is contracts. A contract, you know, this is what it is. This is how I do business. And there is going to be a mindset part of this conversation, because I do believe that until you are okay with money, until you are comfortable around money, until you are actually embrace money in a positive way, you are going to keep finding these little roadblocks. And these roadblocks are going to be, you know, present as, you know, clients kind of like dragging you along to get, you know, to get their payments done or things like that. So I'm going to, again, share with you some of the things that I have done, and I hope that this conversation is useful. Another thing, I'm going to be addressing a couple of questions that I received regarding this topic. I posted on my Instagram stories that I was going to be talking about money, and a couple of people sent some really, really good questions. So we're going to get to that. Alrighty. Kind of like housekeeping done, and kind of like the little warnings of this conversation said, let's dive into this. What happened with money? How do we get paid? What are we supposed to do? So let's start with the pragmatic thing, which is contracts. If you are a professional, you must have a contract. Now, you might say, Carolina, obviously I have a contract, but, you know, sometimes it's difficult to, you know, have people follow your contract. And I would argue this with you because I've been in business for 11 years. And I am super flexible within my business, right? Easygoing. If a client texts me during the weekend, I don't get upset. If they text me after hours, I don't mind. But when it comes to my contract, I am strict and I am very, very stiff, and I don't move things around. I don't bend over for my contract. My contract was crafted by a lawyer. I respect what they did with my contract, and I honor what my, you know, my contract. So that's the one thing that I actually even tell my future clients to. I tell them, like, listen, I'm super fun and this should be like a light, fun, organic relationship. When it comes down to the contract, this is a legality that I take very seriously. So that being said, your contract should detail specified how you are getting paid. So one of the questions that I got is like, what is a good deposit? 30%, 50%, 10%? Now, I think this is a better question for a lawyer, because I remember when I had my consultation with the lawyer that did my contract, he expressed something that I am kind of like paraphrasing, I don't remember exactly, but he mentioned that kind of like your retainer should cover the work that you have done thus far, meaning what is it? So for me, it is, you know, going back and forth in emails, you know, prior to finalizing the contract, getting sometimes obviously on a discovery call. Sometimes there's actually a second call where I go and I explain the contract. So for me, instead of using a percentage of the final amount, I actually use a flat rate. My flat rate is $1,000, whether they book $4,000 collection or whether they book a $7,000 collection. Everybody, you know, my retainer is $1,000 and it is specified on my contract. This is something that you should always check with a lawyer to make sure what is legal within your city, your state, your country. I've heard of photographers that charge 50% upfront, and again, you run your business however you want to, but if you were to send kind of like you have to go to court and explain your retainer, why it is 50%, the court might say like, well, you haven't done 50% of the work. So again, don't quote me on this, but this is how I remember my own meeting for my own contract. Now, once again, I don't like percentages because I like complete, like round numbers and percentages. Sometimes even if it's a 10%, you know, depending of the collection is going to be different. I like to know exactly how much money I'm kind of like projected to make per month. So I know that if I charge $1,000 retainer that I need to book X amount of weddings for that month to cover my cost. Okay. So that's the first thing that I do. It is really important that in your contract, you specified these things, that you have a clause for retainer, a clause for the balance. And here is where things get a little bit not so black and white, right? This is where people start to get a little bit loose with their contracts. And here is where I actually double down and I hold tight to my beliefs and also my contract. So when a client decides that they want to book me and they send me an email saying, hey, Carolina, fantastic, we want to move forward. And let's say that they want collection two. My second email or my follow-up email will be, I'm super excited. Yeah, I can't wait to work with you guys. I need to know which collection you want to book, the name of the person signing the contract. In my case, I only request one person to sign the contract, and then give me all the details of the wedding. As soon as I send the contract, I send also an invoice via Square App. Now, some of you might think that getting paid with a credit card is a pain in the ass because you have to pay the fee and this and that. Well, make sure that you add all these fees into your final, you know, when you're creating your collections, that the same way as you're calculating your time, the cost of goods, credit card fees is a cost of doing business. So add that into your overall collection. So I don't charge extra for that. It's already everything kind of like included in the collection. So again, I send an email saying like, hey, so-and-so, I'm super excited. I just sent you the contract. Please make sure that you read it, sign it, whatever the case. Your contract, you must submit your contract back to me with a retainer within 48 hours. I make sure that this little line is bold, underlined, and highlighted. So if they kind of like overlook my email, it will stand out that I'm only holding their date for 48 hours. You might say, well, Carolina, why do you do that? The reason why is because I don't want to be waiting for days or even weeks. And I keep seeing this on Facebook groups that they're like, hey, I sent a contract and it's been 2 weeks and I haven't heard back from them. And now I don't know if they want to book me or should I open that day on my calendar. I don't want to go back and forth. Absolutely not. I say that in the contract. I said that in my email. And that's it. If I haven't heard from them within 48 hours, that date goes back on my calendar as if nothing had happened and I cancel the contract and the invoice and I move with my life happily. It's never happened, but I am mentally prepared if that's the case. Now, when I send this email, I wait for 24 hours. I use a platform that allows me or that tells me when somebody has looked at the contract, signed the contract and all that. So if they saw the contract but haven't signed it yet, within 24 hours, I send a follow-up email. Hey, so-and-so, I send you an email with the contract. This is just a follow-up. Please remember that I only hold the date for 48 hours after sending the contract. Please let me know if you have any questions. The majority of the times, if they haven't signed the contract, but then as soon as I send that follow-up email, immediately they sign the contract and I get my deposit paid. Simple. I don't have to chase people down the street. I don't have to wait. I don't have to wonder if they're going to book me or not. Straightforward. People follow the rules. If you, you know, put them in place and if you respect the rules, people will follow the rules. Now, it is important that you make this process really easy for the client. My contract is digital. Once they sign it, they can send it from their phone, from an iPad, from the computer. They don't need to print it, scan it, send it back to me. You need to make things easy for your clients. The same thing for payment. If you don't accept credit cards, why is that? Credit cards are so easy. It's also kind of like a pro, like a benefit for the client, because I always tell them like, sure, you can use the miles for your honeymoon, however you want to do this. And again, I'm not losing money because when I created my collections, I took into consideration how much it cost me to use a credit card. So I added that into my final pricing. So if you're making it difficult for your clients to pay you, this could be one of the reasons why they're taking their time to pay. I can guarantee you that if I had to go to the bank and make a transfer or send out a check, it will take me 5 days before I get around to do that. But if I have a quick link in my email that if I just click on it, I just put my credit card information in and voila, it gets paid, I'll do that within an hour because it's simple for me. So that's my advice. Alrighty, so they pay the balance. What happens after? Obviously, there is a balance to be paid, right? And again, here is when I see a lot of people struggle. So my contract says that the balance must be paid 30 days prior to their wedding. 30 days. Why do I choose 30 days? Well, 30 days is just a month prior to the event. They have enough time to get their money. It also allows me enough time just in case something, you know, doesn't go as planned. I have enough time to get my money prior to the wedding day. If your contract says that the balance needs to be paid a week prior to the wedding, I want you to understand that the week prior to the wedding is going to be the most hectic time for a couple. They're going to be finalizing details. If this is a destination wedding, they're going to be traveling. Family probably is coming from out of town, so they're doing a lot of, you know, meetings and greetings and, you know, a lot of things are happening. So they might not be fully focused on finalizing payments. They are overwhelmed. That's why I don't do a week before, because I don't want to be in that energy. I want to make sure that I send the email notification that the balance is due. And again, if something goes wrong, I have, you know, 30 days to wait for that balance, not just a tiny short week. So my advice to you is to collect payment with more time than just a week. Now, a lot of people ask me here, well, one of the questions was how to remind clients payment is due without sounding bitchy. So, super simple. Here is when a little bit of mindset comes to play. This is a business. This is not charity. They're not doing me a favor. They are booking services. They chose to book me. They sign a contract. It is black and white for me. So when I send that email, you know, that reminding email, again, I do send an email. I don't expect my clients to remember. They are running with at a minimum 10 other vendors. So I don't take it personal if 30 days prior to their wedding, I don't see balance in my account. I don't do that. Like, I remind them. That's part of my job. That's part of like the customer experience that I give to my clients. So I send them an email. The subject line is something along the lines of like 30 days until your big day, happy emoji, you know, whatever your brand allows for. And then kind of like the body of the email is very positive. hey, so-and-so, I hope you're doing fantastic. This is it. It's only 30 days for your big day. I can't wait to, you know, celebrate with you and your family. As per our contract, this is the time to submit your remaining balance. I have sent you an invoice via whatever platform you use. In my case, it's a Square app. And I'm super excited about your wedding. That's it. There's nothing, you know, bitchy about that email. There is nothing that sounds also like, hey, I'm here to collect my money. No, I'm being super positive. And in a friendly manner, I'm reminding them that, hey, you guys signed a contract. This is what is next. 99% of my clients replied within 24 hours. They sent me the money. Hey, Carolina, here's the money. Fantastic. And obviously, after I do that, I send them a receipt. I send them an email saying, like, here is your final receipt. I can't wait, you know, to, you know, celebrate with you. Yoo-hoo. Whatever. What happens if a week goes by and I haven't heard from them? Which it could happen. And this is what I allow myself 30 days because I don't want to be sending an email every single day, right? I send an email 30 days prior. I let them sit in there, a week passes by, then I send them a reminder. Hey, so-and-so, I hope you guys are doing great. I know there is a lot of things probably happening in your life. I sent you an email a week ago. Your balance is due. Here is a link for the payment. Please let me know if you have any questions. Again, I'm not being bitchy. I'm not being like, hey, where's my money at, right? I'm not doing that. I'm being kind of like an empath. I'm asking them if everything is okay, that I can't wait to hear from them. And when this has happened, when I have waited a week to send an email, then the client replies saying like, oh my God, we're sorry. Here is, you know, the payment, whatever the case is. Again, I'm not being pushy. I'm not being rude to my client, nothing like that. But again, I have given myself 30 days. So like, even if they take 2 weeks to pay, I still have time. Imagine if you only have a week balance, and then it's the day before the wedding, and you haven't received your payment, and now you're getting aggravated and annoyed, and what's happening then? One of the questions, kind of like a follow-up to this topic, is like, should I charge a late fee? Now, I myself, I don't charge a late fee. I think that even though I'm very strict in some things, here I am very, very linear because, again, I'm giving myself 30 days. If I were doing maybe a week out and they don't pay me, maybe I would add a late fee charge to this. However, if you have a late fee added, this needs to be on your contract. This is something that the client needs to know prior to you being like, hey, you didn't pay me on time, I want to charge you money. Okay? This is something that they had to previously agreed on. So it's completely up to you. Your brand, your business, however you handle this, I don't think there is a right or wrong situation. Now, keep in mind that if you have a late fee, you have to remind them of this. And when you send an email, you can be like, hey, your payment is due, blah, 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 blah. And then kind of like, PS, remember that if you don't pay by date, whatever, there is a late fee of this amount of money as per our contract or something like that. So you're covered, you're still polite, and you're letting them know that there is a late fee coming if they don't do what they had agreed to do on the contract. Now, just for the questions that I received, right? Just the question of this, of like, how to remind clients payment is due without sounding bitchy. This is a mindset question. I could immediately tell that this is not about reminding them. This is about us having a problem with money and feeling that we are being quote-unquote bitchy when we ask for our money. And I don't feel that way at all, but I didn't get here, like, I wasn't like that always. Like, at the beginning of my business, I felt really awkward about asking people for money, almost inadequate. I was just, like, very shy about it. I was, like, always, like, instead of being, you know, comfortable saying an amount of money, let's say $5,000, instead of paying $5,000, I would be, like, oh, yeah, so the amount is, you know, $5,000. However, you know, you're going to get a book and I'm going to give you... And I start adding things that they haven't bought just because I wasn't feeling comfortable around money. So I do believe there is a little bit of mindset that you have to do. And the things that I did, to be honest, this is going to sound really silly, but like I would stand in front of the mirror and I would say, my service fee is... let's, for example, say $4,000. My collection is $4,000. my collection is $4,000. And I would say this over and over and over and over again until I got comfortable saying that. Now, I'm gonna put a little parenthesis in here because, again, this is something that we see over and over and over again, which is like people charge your worth. You should charge your worth. And I think there's something a little bit wrong with that because as humans, you are infinite worth. You have infinite worth. Your photography business is not, and the success or failure of it has nothing to do with how much you are worth as a human being. So instead of saying charge your worth, we should kind of like flip that and say charge the worth of your service, right? Because then there is a difference. As a human, infinite worth. You shouldn't be talking about this. But as a business and as services, the reality is that they do have some value that is going to be different for every single photographer. If you have more experience, if you have more technique, if you're better at X, Y, and Z, if you can deliver better results, obviously you're going to be able to charge more money as if you are new to photography and you know nothing and you're not comfortable posing people and you don't know how to do natural and artificial lighting and you don't know how to manage difficult situations during a wedding. So I want you to be honest with yourself, and when you are setting up your pricing, you need to realize that this is not about you as a person to be like, oh, I'm gonna charge $20,000 because I'm worth it. If you are putting the price on your collections, on your services at $20,000, you need to be able to back up that with this cost $20,000 because of X, Y, Z, and whatever else, okay? So super important. I don't want you to think that charge your worth, but instead charge what your service are worth. And that way you need to start getting comfortable around that pricing, because even though your services might be worth X, Y, and Z, you might feel very uncomfortable about saying those numbers out loud. And when we're uncomfortable around money, we start making little mistakes, as, for example, bending our contract and being like, yeah, you know what? Sure, you can pay me later. No big deal. Sure, you can pay me after the wedding. Yeah, no big deal. And we start putting ourselves in situation that even though we're saying like, yeah, sure, we're okay, we're not okay. It's not okay for you to show up to a wedding feeling uncomfortable because you haven't been paid, feeling this kind of like sense of like uneasiness as of like, I'm doing my best, but are they gonna come through with the money? That is not okay. And you might say like, well, if they don't come through with the money, I don't give them their photos, which is as you know, an okay argument. But I myself, Carolina Guzik, when I established my business, when I left my corporate job, I said, I want to do this business because I want to have full control over my business. I want to decide for myself what is good, what do I like. And one of the things that I like is that my business brings me happiness. But also, it brings me happiness because I am not wondering if I am gonna get paid. When I show up to a wedding, it has been paid in full. I can show up with a clean headspace and do my job. And I don't have to be wondering if like so-and-so got paid. Did the florist get paid? Am I the only one that didn't get paid? Why is this happening? Why they have a cake that cost $7,000 and they were kind of like not okay with paying my services? And you guys know that we all do that. I was recently at a wedding and one of the vendors came to me and asked me if I was paid. And I was like, yes, I am. And then this person was like, they haven't paid me. And of course, my answer now bothered them because now they're doing this job and they're like wondering how come I got paid and they didn't get paid. I don't want you to be that person. I want you to be the person that shops at a wedding and be like, everything is paid. I'm just here to do my best job. And part of doing your best job is having the right headspace. All right, so moving on into those questions, right? What about if you have payments in your contract, right? What about if you are the kind of photographer that you want to be super flexible for your clients and you want to break down your fee into payments throughout the month because it's going to help them? Maybe it's going to help you with some cash, you know, influx into your own account. That's up to you. I don't think there is a right or wrong question. What I do believe is that you need to be extremely clear in your contract. And if you have payments, then you need to do on February 1st, you need to pay X amount of money. On March 1st, you need to pay this amount of money. And here is when you can add a late fee and say, like, if you are late for your payment on the 1st, there is going to be an upcharge of X amount of money. Once again, you need to be super clear in the contract and in the emails that you send so the client understand why there is a late fee and what would happen and how will they pay and what happens if they don't pay. All that has to be super clear on your contract. Now, somebody asked here, what if they offer to pay you in cash, Carolina? And again, this is completely up to you. And I want to go back to how do I feel about money and how do I feel about my business. I don't feel comfortable showing up to a coffee shop and somebody handling me a brown paper bag with thousands of dollars in it that I have to now lay on a table and count in front of everybody and even get a magic pen to make sure that the bills are okay. You might laugh right now. You might think that this is ridiculous, but how else would you get in cash if you're charging $6,000, $7,000, or even $1,000, and they're like, want to pay in cash? Like, you're just going to grab the envelope and don't check? I don't know. Maybe it's the Colombian in me, but I double check everything. So if somebody's going to handle me cash, I'm going to lay it in front of them and count my money and check my money. And that doesn't make me feel so good. In all honesty, that makes me feel a little bit weird and even cheap. Even if they're handling me thousands of dollars, this doesn't make me feel good. So I myself, thank God I haven't been asked if very often if they can pay me cash. But if somebody asks me, I say, you know what? It's easier for me to send you a link to pay with a credit card or actually a bank transfer. I would prefer that. That's what I say. It is up to you. But what I would say is if you are accepting cash, that you make sure that you count in front of the person so then there are not, you know, miscommunications or be like, hey, sorry, you were short $100. And then they will be like, no, I wasn't. And then how could you prove that? Then you just have to be like, sure, whatever you say. And then again, that headspace, you're not going to feel cool about this client. You're going to be like, your money wasn't complete. And now I have to aid that $100 or whatever the case is. I don't want that. So for me, it's like, hey, pay me with a credit card, get those miles so you can go to the Maldives, you know, in that honeymoon or whatever the case is. One other question that I used to get asked, I don't get asked anymore, but they're like, hey, if I pay you in cash, could we like remove the tax? And that used to drive me so insane. And again, you do whatever you want. I don't do that. I treat my business with the most respect. And part of having a business is having to pay taxes. It is what it is. So when somebody's like, hey, we want to pay you in cash, would you remove the tax? I would say it doesn't make a difference if you pay me on cash or credit card or a bank transfer. Your collection has this amount of money on tax and I'm going to collect that amount of money on sales tax. It is what it is. That's just me. That is my point of view. But that also, I believe, sets the boundaries with clients, that they understand that this is not like a local little tiny shop that they can come and set their own rules. This is my business. I, Carolina Gusick, set the rules. I show respect for my business. I show respect for myself. And that, whether you believe it or not, it's going to transfer into other kind of communications that you will have later on with that client. So I myself, I don't do it. It's up to you. What do you do? Then we have here, some people ask, what about Venmo or Zelle for business? And I think that again, if you feel comfortable with those kinds of transactions, I don't see a problem so long as they are for business. If you use Venmo or Zelle like personal, you might get your account, you know, kind of like frozen. I've heard of so many people that they, you know, they couldn't receive payments. They got actually a penalty. So if you do it for business, I think that you're okay. I think that you do need to know that there is a limit on how much money you can receive. And I just find out this myself because I had a client sending me payments through Zelle for business. And there was like an X amount of money that she can send. So again, we had to wait it a couple of days for kind of like that kind of like limit to kind of like erase. So she had to split her payment. So again, if you're doing this a week before the wedding, you might not have the time to receive all your money. And now you're again in this pickle of like, oh, they still owe me money. I don't like that feeling. I don't like the feeling of being owed money. Don't like it at all. So I don't do it in my business. Absolutely not. Now, there is another question that people, you know, people ask here. What does the payment plan go? I mentioned this is in the contract. You need to make sure that it is, you know, very detailed. What if somebody, you know, wants to get a discount if they paid upfront, right? Let's say that your collection, you know, let's give an even number. It's $5,000. They book you. They're like, hey, Carolina, you know what? Our collection is $5,000. We want to go ahead and pay that balance right now. What will be the discount for that? No, friend, there is no discount for that. Thank you. I'll take your money. You're the best. I'll give you a receipt. There is no discount for that. I do not discount my business. Whether you pay me upfront right now or you pay me my retainer and the balance 30 days, for me, Carolina Gusick, makes no difference. I would advise you that if it does make a difference for you, still don't give a discount, because now you're training clients to ask for discounts and that will never end. So instead of maybe giving a discount, what I have done in the past is I said, listen, there is no discount for that. However, if you add parents book to your collection, this will cost X amount of money, but if you add them today, I will give you a 10% discount on those products, or a 15% discount, or a 20% discount on those products. How do you feel about that? Because now I'm getting extra money of a sale that now they're doing emotionally. If I wait until I deliver those images, they might be like, yeah, my mom doesn't need an album anymore. I'll make her a scrapbook. So I might lose on that sale. So I want to get them now when they're emotionally involved here. So I might do a discount there. But on my collections that have a set pricing, I don't do discounts. That has been my policy from the beginning. I don't do family and friends discounts. I don't do I pay you early discounts. I don't do I pay you Bitcoin discounts, because apparently that's a new thing. People asking if they pay with cryptocurrency, if they get a discount. No, you can pay me with Bitcoin if you want. You'll just have to change my contract, but it will be the same amount. No discounts. So that's just how I do it. So I think that it's important that you can see here that you need to set the grounds of your business. This is your business. You set the rules. Obviously, you need to be advised by, you know, a lawyer to make sure that your rules are actually legal, right? I cannot be like, hey, my deposit, your deposit is 100% plus a giraffe. That might be a little bit crazy. People will be like, no, we're not doing that. So make sure that whatever your either retainer is, if it's a percentage, if it's a flat rate, make sure that it makes sense, just in case something were to happen and you need to go to court, that, you know, that you're protected. Right? So make sure that you do that. Make sure that everything is on the contract. Make sure that if you have late fees, that is in the contract. Make sure that if you have a payment plan, the dates when you're expected to receive the payment plans are detailed on the contract. Don't send a contract saying like, hey, since you're on a payment plan, you're expected to pay the first of every month. For how many months? Which months? Make sure that you say June 1st, 2023, March 2nd, I can't even count clearly, but you know what I'm trying to say, that everything is very detailed. Make sure that you send reminders. Don't get offended if you are 30 days to their wedding and you haven't heard from them. You're not top of mind. Believe me, you are not. Even though they owe you money, you're not top of mind. Send a friendly reminder. Hey, I'm excited about your wedding. As per our contract, you're supposed to pay your balance now. Here is a link so you can easily pay your balance. If you're not making things easy for your clients, then don't complain about them on Facebook when they haven't paid you, but you also haven't given them an opportunity to pay you. If you are requesting gold coins and they're taking, you know, a freaking month to get them to you, then don't be like, why are they taking so long? Well, you're making it difficult for them to pay you. So don't make it difficult for them. Make it easy. Don't feel like you're being quote unquote bitchy when you're asking for your money. Absolutely not. And I can tell you, as females, sometimes we do feel that way. I think that as women, we have a more difficult time being comfortable around money. And this is just, you know, thousands of years of like things happening. But anyways, not here, not there. But what I'm saying is, this is your business. This is not charity. This is not for funsies. This is a business. I don't show up to the airport to go on a trip and be like, I don't want to pay you right now, airline. Sorry, American Airlines. I want to pay you later when I get there, because how are you going to guarantee me that I'm going to get there? I'll pay you when I get there. They're going to be like, sorry, lady. No, move to the right. Next person, right? So the same thing on my business. I don't have to deliver the photos for them to pay me. Absolutely not. And I know in other countries, like I know in South America, this is a big thing because it's different mentality, but absolutely not. You pay me 30 days prior to your wedding. I show up to your wedding with the best headspace, ready to create, to have a good time with you, because I don't have that little thing on the back of my mind wondering if you're actually going to come through with my money. I don't have that. Absolutely not. So guys, I hope this was useful. I hope that you get something out of this. And if you have any more questions, don't hesitate to do a follow-up on Instagram, send me a DM. But overall, I hope that you're getting paid and that you don't feel bad around money, okay? Don't feel bad about money. Also, I was kind of like finishing here, but then I thought about this too. Don't get offended when people ask you, how much do you charge? That is the easiest question to ask. That's what people are going to say. It's the easiest question. Don't get offended. Don't get offended also if they're like, sorry, we can't afford you. Don't get offended. If you know the value of your proposal, if you know the value of your work, and once again, value of your work, not your personal value, right? Not your personal worth, value of your offer. If somebody tells me, Carolina Guzik, that's super expensive, you're crazy, it wouldn't even bother me because I know the value of my offer. I know that it's priced correctly. If somebody says that to me, I'll be like, I'm sorry you think that way, wish you the best, bye. I'm not gonna go get offended. The same way as a luxury realtor that sells beautiful apartments in New York won't get offended when I go to see a penthouse overlooking Central Park and he or she tells me, well, it is $30 million. And I'd be like, you're crazy. I don't have that kind of money. They'll be like, okay, bye. They don't get offended. They're like, it is what it is. Go your merry way. We'll find somebody to buy this penthouse. Same thing with your photography services. Don't get offended. Alrighty guys, I hope that you embrace money. I hope that you understand that as artists, money help us. Money help us with our livelihood, with our lifestyle, with achieving our dreams, our goals, whatever the case is. It's not bad to want money. It's not bad to ask for money. It's not bad to put a price on your services. And absolutely not, it's not bad to get paid prior to you showing up to a wedding or an event. Alrighty guys. Wrap it up right now. Hope this was useful. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. For more info about marketing tips for photographers and show notes, please visit thetogrepublic.com. If you enjoy today's show, please go to iTunes and leave us a review. Want even more? Join our marketing community group. Just search for The Tog Republic Group on Facebook. Until next week.